You're listening to the BeyondCast, the official podcast of Beyond Student Ministries. Located in Seattle, Washington, we're all about faith, mission, and reality. Join us as we look at Jesus the Revolutionary in the Gospel of Luke.
To the school year. How many of you guys are looking forward to school? Anybody?
Yeah!
Woohoo! Sometimes I wish I could go back to school, but then I remember, that's a lot of work. I don't want to go back. Not yet. But school's coming. School's coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's on its way. Graduation is one way, but you're not there yet, so I'm sorry. Someday. Someday. But as we're getting ready for school, I mean, one of the things that we have to continually remind ourselves is that Jesus was on mission, and he wants us, hey guys, focus. He wants us to get on mission with him. He wants us to go and share his love. He wants us to go and proclaim the gospel. And by proclaiming the gospel, it's as easy as saying, you know what? Jesus loves you. He died for you. You don't, like I said in the prayer, you don't have to know every answer to every question. Because people like that are generally looked at like as jerks. But anyway, so, I mean, some of the most honest things you could say is, I don't know. Like someone said, well, what about this? You know, I don't know. But I know that I love God and God loves me. And let's look into that. Let's investigate. You know, it's not hard. And there's so much that God has for you. And so many things that he's got geared and ready for you if you would just listen and trust him and do when he calls you to worship, to worship and to witness him and to be obedient, to just do it. And someone tell me our core values. Somebody. We used to have them conveniently on a little thing here. Faith, mission, and reality. Right. And this passage tonight kind of hits all three of them. Faith, mission, and reality. Faith, you know, the most important thing is where do you put your trust? Do you put your trust in your popularity or in your school abilities or in yourself? Or do you put your trust, your faith in God? Because he's perfect. So even if you put your trust in yourself, you're going to let yourself down. I'm 25. I've learned that. Don't put your faith in yourself. Put your faith in God. Mission, Jesus is on mission and he says, join me. And we're going to hear a little bit about that tonight. In reality, the truth is, life is hard. Life is tough. And you know what? It's hard for Christians. There's so many churches. If you were to just base your theology on what you see on TV, churches that just proclaim the prosperity gospel, which is basically God blesses you no matter what. Just if you're not blessed, then God hates you. But if you are blessed, that's great. And that's not an accurate depiction of God's love. And the reality is that life is hard for everybody. I mean, if Jesus, the Son of God, you think God loves him, died and was brutally murdered, then, you know, I don't think that would be called a blessing. And he's the Son of God. So I think, you know, when our life's hard, God blesses us anyway. And trusting in God helps us to deal with that reality. Helps us to deal with the fact that, you know what, life is tough, but he can help me through it. He can help me get through that situation. And so today we're going to look at a passage. It's called in your NIV or whatever. There's sometimes a little heading, and in this time it's warnings and encouragements. And so that's what I just jacked and used as the title. So if you're taking notes, I'm sorry I don't have any fill in the blanks for OCD people. But just write them down yourself. I know Emily's like tweaking out over there. It's like, I need blanks. So we're going to start in verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus, that's a big group. That's like European soccer fans, all right? I mean, it's insane. They began trampling on one another. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear whom, who after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. So Jesus is like Bono here. Bono, follow me on this. How many of you guys have ever watched like MTV Sinners? No, I occasionally will watch music videos. If I hear a U2 riff, I'll stop. I just stop. I'm like, what U2? And they have a song, which is a great song. It's called All Because of You. And the video All Because of You is U2, the band, driving around on a flatbed truck playing throughout New York, basically causing a ruckus because people are like running along and like, oh, it's U2, it's Bono, oh, Edge, Clayton, oh, ah! They're screaming. They're running all over the place. And the whole time the band's just playing All Because of You, na 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 na, and all this stuff. It's really a great, cool video. It's a cool concept. And they have this big concert and everything. But the thing is, like, everywhere Bono goes, people follow him. Everywhere he goes, it's like, hey, even if he goes to Africa, people know, hey, that's Bono. He's helping us. Let's follow him. You know, he's one of those guys who just draws a crowd. And you go to a concert, which I've never gone to a U2 concert someday in life. Dear Jesus. Anyway, it's like, it's just insane. Like, people go crazy. Right? Right. Trust me. I've seen the DVD. except cooler. But so Jesus is drawing that same kind of crowd. Everywhere Jesus goes, people just like say, hey, that's Jesus. And they start following. And they start running after him. And whenever Jesus stops, they all stop. And like probably the reason they trample each other is because like Jesus is walking along and then he just stops to turn around. And like people in the back are like, oh, sorry. I didn't know we were stopping. And dominoes and they fall over and then they mosh and they break each other's faces. It's just a huge crowd. Huge crowd. And there are thousands of people. And Jesus is not fazed by the crowd. That's what's so cool, because it says he spoke first to his disciples. And so there's thousands of people, but like a group like this, he just stopped. And he was talking to all of you. He was talking to the people that were closest to him, like the people that had been following him the longest. The rest of the crowd, they were like trying and struggling to hear. They're like, what's Jesus talking? What? Huh? What's this yeast of the Pharisees? Are the Pharisees making bread now? What's going on? But he's talking to the disciples, and the first thing he warns his disciples is that, oh, wait, no, I'm not ready for that yet. Go back. We're editing it out of the podcast, and we're back. Here's the thing. Jesus is basically going to, from this point on, he's saying, playtime's over. You guys have been following me, and you've been hearing what I've been saying, and playtime's over. It's no longer just this miraculous feeding program, you know. It's no longer just, you know, just miracles and all this stuff. It's time to get serious. Because Jesus is looking at the cross. He's saying, I am going to die. From this point out, Jesus is focused on his purpose, which was to die for the sins of the world. The miracles and all that stuff, those are signs to show that he had power and authority. But now he's getting serious. He says, if you're going to follow me, let me tell you what's going to happen. First of all, you're going to get in trouble. Watch out. You know, watch out for people. They're going to come at you. The first one is the Pharisees. And the first thing Jesus says is he tells to watch out for hypocrisy. How many of you guys know what hypocrisy is? It's a band from Sweden. True. What else is hypocrisy? Double speak.
It's kind of like a hypocrite.
Yes, it is like a hypocrite-ish. What's that? Monica, you brought a dictionary?
Oh, no.
They were milling about and crushing each other. All right. So hypocrisy is doublespeak. What did you say, Chris? Living a life of contradiction. That's good. That's deep. That's insightful. What's that? Oh, mumble. But hypocrisy is basically living two lives. And I don't know if you guys know religious people. Religious people are really good at this. And so he's saying that, you know what, the Pharisees that you guys all look up to, the guys you think are so holy and so perfect, watch out for them. Because they're just about following rules. They don't care about the heart behind the rules. They don't care about why the rules are there. They don't care about what the rules actually mean. They just want to follow the rules. So in an effort to stay totally in line with the rules, they'll crush other people in their wake. In an effort, did you look it up there, Jessica? Nice. No, of a chinchilla. It's close. But Jesus is saying, these people that you look up to, there's the Pharisees, because honestly, the Pharisees in the New Testament, they're the good guys. You know, they think they're the good guys. They're like, yeah, we're following the rules, and here comes Jesus messing everything up. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm going to mess things up, because it's not about following rules. It's not about just doing this because that will get you this. No, it's about love God and love people. Those are the greatest commandments in the whole Bible. And if you do those two things, the rest of the stuff is all going to fall into place. So watch out for religious people. And how many of you guys, like, you think of the church, maybe you think of me as a guy who says, follow the rules. You mean, honestly, yeah, Mikey, yeah, Jason, you do that to me all the time. You say, get this in, and I don't. No. But, you know, there's a common misperception, and often it's because the church does this, is that if you're not following the rules, God must not love you. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not what it's about. It's not about just following the rules. It's not about just doing everything right. It's about loving people and loving God. And the thing is, like, the Pharisees and religious people, and if you're a religious person, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just reading the Bible. The Pharisees didn't care. Like, they would say, like, oh, look how holy I am. Dude, look at that guy. That guy's totally sinful, man. He's like, he's just a jerk. So they're whispering these things about other people. And Jesus says, watch out for that, because what you whisper in that person's ear is going to be proclaimed from the rooftop. And all of your double life is going to be revealed. And so Jesus says, watch out for them, because you think they're perfect, but there's coming a day when I'm not trying to point you out, but I am pointing at you. Sorry. There's coming a day when all of their sins and all of their life and all of their double talk and life of contradiction is going to be revealed. So watch out for that. And Jesus isn't saying, like, don't follow the rules, but Jesus is saying, live a full, complete life. Be the same person all the time. If you're going to say you love God and love people. You don't just say, I love God, so I follow the rules. Don't you say, I love God, so I go to church every Sunday, and I read my Bible 3 times a day, and I pray every 5 minutes, and I do all this because I'm trying to follow the rules, and I'm trying to be perfect, and I'm trying to try. It's like, no! Love God and love people. And do that 100% of the time. And if you're loving God, you're going to pray. If you're loving God, you're going to read your Bible. If you're loving people, you're going to serve. And if you're doing all that God told you to do, life is going to be good. But do that 100%. 100%. And I'm yelling a lot tonight, and I'm sorry. All right. Okay, I'll keep doing it. So the question I have to ask, because the time is coming when all of our deeds, I don't know if you guys know this, but all of our deeds will be revealed. You know, when we die and, you know, we're at the judgment seat, everybody says it's just you and God. But I don't know. I don't know if it is just you and God. I don't know if everybody's watching. I mean, nothing's going to change. I mean, if you're going into heaven, you're going to go to heaven, but and you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to hell. But maybe, like, everybody's there. and they're like, God's like, what sins have you not asked grace for? And then he puts it on the giant projector screen of heaven. And everybody's like, oh yeah. Wow, but God has grace for that. Oh yeah, but man, he's got grace for that. Because there's going to be a day, it could be on earth or it could be in heaven, when all of our double life, if you're living a double life, will be revealed. You know, and here's the thing about hypocrisy. Once you start lying, you got to keep making up more lies. Once you start living one way, you got to... How many of you guys have ever watched Seinfeld? This is my second reference to Seinfeld today. There's an episode where George, who is probably the most human character of all of them, has a girlfriend. Relationship George, that's one life. And then he's got Jerry and Elaine and Kramer, and that's friendship George. And all of a sudden, Elaine becomes friends with George's girlfriend. Have you guys seen this one? And the two worlds are colliding. Because George lives two very different lives. George has this life, and never the tween shall meet. And all of a sudden, worlds are colliding, Jerry, and he's like freaking out. And when you live a double life, you start to freak out. It's like, what if these people find out about this? What if these people know that I'm like this when I'm with these people? What's going to happen? Because it's going to collide. So my challenge to you, live one life, okay? We had our Speed of Light theme last year. It was one life, one chance. But, you know, seriously, just live one life. Don't try to be two different people. Don't try to be two different realms, all right? All right, thank you. Preach, amen. I'll do it.
Holla.
Amen. All right. Jesus doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. He wants everything you got. And he said, give it to me. Live one life and follow me. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the world. Be mine. The second thing Jesus talks about is life and death. And these are fun topics. And Jesus is basically saying, don't fear death. I am in an odd situation right now in my own life. My great-grandpa died on Friday, and I'm doing the funeral on Monday. Wow, it's coming quick. And I've never done a funeral before, so I'm kind of really nervous about that. But he lived a good life. He lived a good life. And up until the end, like, his daughters were in the hospital room singing A Closer Walk with Thee, which is an old hymn that was one of his favorites. And, you know, he didn't fear death as much as he feared, like, other people living without him. Like, because he's a provider kind of guy. And, but he lived a good life. And Jesus is saying in this passage, he's like, don't fear death, because death is not the end. Death is not the end. You know, like, Jesus is basically saying, so you follow me and they kill you. Is that all they're going to do? It's like, don't fear them. Fear the one that takes you to hell. You know, watch out for that. And who throws you into hell? You do. You do. God doesn't say you're going to hell. Your life tells God, I made up my mind, thanks. I'm going to go. You know? He's saying it's all about living your life, life and death, because there's an eternity. There is an eternity. And there are eternal consequences. There's heaven for people who give their whole life to God, and there's hell for people who don't. And I didn't set up the rules, and I didn't say it's fair. I didn't say anything. It's just how it is. And we don't need to fear death if we live for Christ. If we live 100% for God, we don't need to be afraid of anything. Anybody ever want to be invincible? Like Superman? And you guys see Superman? I mean, Jesus. Minus, take kryptonite out of the equation, and Superman is invincible. All right? I mean, that's the faith life. Like, there's nothing ultimately that can hurt you if you just trust God. There's nothing. And the more you give your life over to God, the more invincible you feel. It's like, man, I don't need to fear you. I don't need to fear your opinion. I don't need to fear what you tell other people about me. I don't even need to fear your attacks against me, because I serve someone who's bigger and more powerful and who loves me more than you could ever imagine. I don't need to fear you. You know, and you think about Jesus and like in this whole process, I don't know. I try to get in people's brains when I read stories and read the Bible and try to get like, what was David thinking? What was Paul thinking? What was Jesus thinking? And like, as he's going to the cross, like just beat the snot out of him, like barely able to make it. Do you think he was afraid? Or do you think he just endured it, saying, you know what? 3 days later, I'm going to freak my disciples out. You know, like 3 days later, watch out. It's going to be sweet. You know, Hebrews tells us that Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. We can endure our life and our struggles and our difficulties for the joy set before us. Because there is a joy. There is an unending joy for Christ followers. You know, you don't have to fear anything. You can endure all things for the joy set before you. So run your race, man. Throw off all the sin that so easily entangles and just run after Jesus. It's good stuff. I love the book of Hebrews. Anyway, and then the last thing. Well, no, not the last thing. The next thing Jesus talks about is that we are God's most valuable creation. You guys, what's your most valuable possession? Anybody? A camera. I don't know what that kind of camera is, but that camera. All right. It's a big one. What else? Your car? Okay. Yeah. Okay. What else? Your what? Your vinyl of The Dark Side of the Moon. Okay. That's your most valuable collect, correct? All right. Perfect. What else? Most valuable? Oh, yeah, probably. What else? Photo albums. Awesome. Yeah. Memories. What? Your organs. You need those. Yeah. Except that extra kidney. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. Okay. You're saving it for a rainy day. Oh, you want a kidney? Here you go. What else? What else? Something else that's valuable. Guitar. Perfect. You know, like, I look at, like, my most valuable possession, Judah, you know, and I only look at him as a possession now because he only goes where I go, you know. It's like he's not going anywhere on his own. It's like they're, Kathy and I are carrying him there. So he's pretty much a possession that poops. But, you know, as much as we value these things and as much as we'd like cherish and take care of them, man, we are so much more valuable in God's eyes. So much more valuable. And, you know, you feel like, I mean, some days you just feel like you're going through crap. You just feel like this is the worst day ever. And it's not because God doesn't love you. You know, never think that God doesn't love you. Even if you're not serving him, God still loves you. But he values us so much that we can't even get our brain around it. If you really stopped to think about God's love, your head would explode. It's just like, he loves me even though I... You're just brains everywhere. And then you go to meet him because you need your brain. You know, at camp this week, one of the things that Jesus says in here is God knows every hair on your head. And this week at camp, I don't know who it was in this section, but I'm sitting down in my folding chair because I brought just enough for me and Chris. And they're standing behind me because I'm a jerk. That's fine. I think it was Jeff. Was it Jeff? Who said, you have a mysterious white patch in your head. Was that you? Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I was like, great. It took you guys months to find it, but I'm going gray.
It was Jordan.
It was Jordan. Okay, it was Jordan. I couldn't remember. I just remember feeling sad. But yeah, so I'm going gray. And for the longest time, I would pluck them. Like, I'd see one, like, get it. But God knows my gray hairs. And I'm only 25. That's the hardest thing about this. Anyway. Serious? That's unfortunate. But yeah, you know, God cares about all of it. Like all of my hair. God numbered it. He's like, that's hair AA429B. You know, he's like, he's got it all cataloged and everything. And like every bird, like in the world, everything, God knows exactly. Like, oh yeah, that bird just died. That's unfortunate, but now it's in bird heaven. I don't know. You know, he just knows everything. Nothing gets by him. Nothing like sneaks away. Nothing like, no one dies and like surprises God. It's like my great grandpa died and like all of a sudden he's up there and he's like, what are you doing here? I died. Oh, really? You know, nothing surprises God. He knows you. He knows everything about you and he cherishes every moment of your life. And nothing sneaks by him. I mean, this passage is so rich and so awesome. But you know what? In the midst of all the trash that you go through, God loves you. He's not abandoning you. He's not forgetting about you. He loves you. He loves you. Everybody say that. God loves me. God loves me. All right. That was a Sunday school moment right there. Let me go get the flannel graph. That was awesome. Anyway, the last kind of thing that were, can I have a fruit snack at a juice box? One more thing, and then we're out of here. And then we're going ice blocking. So Jesus says all this stuff. He's like, you know what? God loves you. He doesn't forsake you. He knows everything about you, and you don't have to fear death. And so don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And I don't know how many times that in my life that I've said that I've been ashamed. Like in high school, because it's hard, right? You guys with me on this? It's hard to really follow Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jeff. And Jesus is just saying, you know what? I love you more than you could ever understand. So don't be ashamed of me. I have a lot of stories about my own life here tonight. And my mom, I love my mom. I didn't always, though, sometimes. I didn't act like it, I should say. There was a time when I was very young and stupid, like fourth grade. That's very young from my perspective now, because I'm old and gray. I was ashamed of my mom. I just didn't think that I wanted people to know that she was my mom. And that's heartbreaking. And my mom listens to the podcast, and I'm sorry, Mom. But, you know, that breaks a parent's heart. And I think too, when Judah is in fourth grade and I'm coming to his school play and he's playing the Herald like I played in that play. I wore tights, yes. It's embarrassing. And I don't want Judah to be ashamed of me. You know, I don't want him to be embarrassed that I'm cheering him on, that I'm a big fool for him because he's amazing. You know, I don't want him to ever think, oh, that's my dad. Because I never think, oh, that's my son. Does that make sense? And when we're ashamed of Jesus, it's like that same feeling that God has. Like when we're ashamed, it's just like, I've done so much for you. Why are you just being a jerk? Ouch, you know? And, you know, when you guys have kids, I think you'll understand your whole life changes. Your whole perspective on everything is different. And you really start to understand the love of God in a in a crazy way because there's nothing Judah can do that's ever going to make me not love him. And there's nothing you can do that's ever going to make God not love you. No matter how hard you try, he's still going to love you. And he's going to be seeking you and running after you and saying, please, please give your life over to me. Stop doing it on your own. So don't be ashamed. And, you know, September's coming. I heard that. September's coming. And you're going to have all kinds of opportunities
to pledge your allegiance. You can, you know, not just to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. No. You have all kinds of opportunities to say, you know what? I'm following this God, this Jesus. I'm following him. And I'm going to do everything I can to live my life as he would want me to live. Or you can say, no, I don't want to be associated. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is the thing. This is where the passage gets really powerful. And then we're going to close. He's talking to his disciples first. And how many of the disciples were really there when Jesus was on the cross? One. John. The rest, as soon as Jesus was arrested, they bolted. Everybody ran. John came back and Peter watched from a distance. But these are the disciples who saw Jesus. I mean, this is going to get sad as we keep going. If you start to really think about his disciples and what's going to happen. But the disciples who saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. The disciples who saw Jesus feed the 5,000. The disciples who saw Jesus raise Talitha from the dead. The disciples who saw Jesus give sight to the blind. Who saw Jesus do all this stuff. Heard his amazing teaching. When he needed them most, when he wanted them most, were falling asleep in the garden. And when he was arrested, they bailed. At that moment, they were ashamed of Jesus. The disciples, who we think they got it all together, they're the disciples. They're in the book. They messed up and they blew it. And yet, when Jesus was raised from the dead, who did he go looking for? The disciples. He went looking. He said to the women at the tomb, he said, go find Peter and the brothers. Go find Peter and the disciples. Tell them I'm coming. Tell them they ran away. They were ashamed of me, but I am coming after them, and they are not done yet. They have more in this life than they're ever going to understand, and they're going to have time after time after time to make up for this one little thing where they ran away from me. And the disciples at Pentecost, Acts 2, they stand up and they say, you know what? You guys think we're crazy. You guys think we're drunk. But you know what? Jesus is real and you crucified him and he rose from the dead and we are going to live our entire lives for him. And they did. And if you read the book of Acts, they turned the whole world upside down. People who hated Jesus and hated Christ followers became Christians. And Paul, who was the biggest persecutor, changed his course entirely after Jesus knocked him off his donkey and said, you are my servant and you're following me. And Paul's like, oh, okay, I'll do whatever you say. And the disciples were never ashamed again because Jesus came back. And when we look at our lives, we can't just be like, no, man, I can't trust Jesus. Man, I can't trust him with that. I can't do that. Just like, what did I do for you? Everything. The least you can do is share your faith with your friend. The least you can do is pray for this person. The least you can do is step out of your comfort zone and trust me and exercise your faith and get on mission. It's the least you can do. And I wish somebody would have said this to me when I was in high school because I wasted opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But Jesus is saying, don't be ashamed because I'm not ashamed of you. You are a messed up, jacked up, sinful, wicked person who I love. You know, Jesus says that to me every day. Like, you're messed up, you're jacked up, and you're sinful, and you're wicked, but I love you anyway, and I got big plans for your life. Because all that stuff means nothing. Because you're following me. So let's get on mission. Man, let's not... I don't know how to say it any other way, and I feel like I'm rambling, but it's important. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed. If you've got people at your school who are in a Bible club, and you're like, Christians, because Christians make fun of other Christians, I know. Or you got people at your school for See You at the Poll on September 20th, and you walk by, and you're like, no, see ya. Don't be ashamed. Go up to that flagpole and say, brothers, sisters in Christ, let's pray. Let's make a difference. Let's do something for Jesus. All right, let's pray.